This is a recording of an interview with Canon Mervyn Hughes on the 26th of February 1997. During the 1930s, there seemed to be this split between which tended to be, as you were saying, about local men, and the backs tended to be a little bit more cosmopolitan.
Well, I don't know. Yes, I suppose because we had one or two three quarters from a master's at Cheltenham College. There was McCandless was one. John Brooks, he was another centre. Bill Phillips, you see, was a master at Dean Close. He was ordained in Gloucester. He lives near me, you see. And there were a lot of locals. You see, there was Bill Hook, Bob Hook.
Yeah.
Bill Hook was still at school, but he played soccer for Tommy Rich's on the Saturday morning and played with Gloucester in the afternoon. But Bob Hook was a very good wing, very fast.
Bill Hook was a fullback, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Played for England as well.
Yes. But Bob was a very fast runner. He scored a lot of tries, but I just think of some of the other centres. So there was one or two who went north. Jack Stevens.
Yeah.
His brother played fullback for the United. I never saw him play, but he was a very fine centre, I believe. He went north. But one of the few, you see, very few went north. But those days, it was a job, and perhaps £500, which was a lot of money.
Yeah. It was interesting, actually, as well, because the reason I brought up the this apparent three-quarters and forwards is it seems to me, in the local community, between the wars, the Gloucester community seemed to change quite a bit.
Well, I suppose a lot of people came to work at Brockworth.
Yeah.
See, in the new shadow factory, Hawksley's, and at the old Gloucester Aircraft Company,
yeah.
And at Doughty's.
There does seem to be a growth in this.
Yes, there was a tremendous influx of craftsmen, I think, from the Lancashire area. I had quite a few in my church who were, you know, had their links with the north.
There were many engineering.
Yes. Yeah. And, let's see, our halfbacks was Donnie Meadows and various scrum halves. Eddie Day was very good, a wonderful scrum half, but he was ill for a time. I think finished him in rugby, but Donnie Meadows was a very clever player. Flat-footed, I don't think he could run very fast, but he had a wonderful sidestep.
Yeah.
And he put me off the field once. He sold the dummy to me. And Huskinson was one of the great England forward. It was OMTs, he was, and his brothers. And so he tackled me, and I hadn't got the ball, and I wasn't expecting it. You know, when you're not expecting it, it put my shoulder out, I think. But Don was a very clever player.
Was your career, the injury that more or less stopped you playing rugby was a knee injury, is that right?
Yes, well, as well as in the army, we used to play rugby, had a very good sort of regimental side, which I ran. And we were playing the officers against the other ranks. And someone tackled me. I hadn't got the ball. Or no, I got the ball, I think, that time. And my cartridge went. Click. Just like a pistol going off. And I never really played again rugby. I played a bit of cricket when it got better to a certain extent, but it still isn't. Never be right. But that put paid in my rugby in the forces.
It was interesting, you carried on, obviously, in the club's administration.
Well, you see, when I came back to Gloucester, the bishop eventually offered me the living of Hucklecote, because the vicar was moving. At least the church wardens went to see him, and he said, "Now, I've got a list of names here." And he went down the list, and it came Reverend H.M. Hughes. The church warden said, "That's enough. We'll have him. No argument." That was a bloke. He was my church warden for 21 years. The vicar was leaving and said, "Get rid of him. He's a troublemaker." So I did after 21 years. I always remember that. But he was fanatically keen on rugby. And the vicar told me once, I mean, I was a curate, he said, "There's a funeral at 2 o'clock. It's at the old cemetery. And if you take it, the church, undertaker will see you back at King's Home by 2:30. And I took the funeral and got into the hearse. And that hearse, I think, must have been about 70 along. The Eastern Avenue had just been built. And pulled up outside the players' entrance. And I got out and hurried in, because I wasn't late, really. It was a 3 o'clock kick-off. It was Easter, I think, probably Easter Saturday. And the hearse went round the corner, parked in St. Mark's Street. Out came the cloth caps instead of the bearers' trilbies. And they all came dashing back to see the match. With old Bert Wilts in the lead, I expect. He'd run the a team at Hucklecote, I think, between the wars. And they had a good little side. They got a team there now, quite good. Yeah. But they didn't have the Central Modern School there at the time, but they still managed to raise a side. But it's an interesting thing. That school was only open for 27 years before it was closed, which was a shame because it was a good school. But it produced two England and one Irish international. Oh. Fiddler and Malcolm Preedy and Matthews, you know, who's captained Ireland. He was schooled at Hucklecote. When he was the Irish team, we played them about 3 years ago. He went out to Hucklecote. He said, "Have a look round where he'd gone to school and what he'd been brought up." They're a very nice fellow. But he's now a commentator with the Irish. But three internationals.
One school in 27 years.
In the junior school. I don't think he went to the secondary modern. He'd moved with his mother to Ireland by then. But he was at the junior school. Yeah. But it says something. The days when they had to fight for an international cap because you didn't come on in 5 minutes before the end and have a cap. No, in those days.
It also seems as well that, like, particularly after the war, is that playing rugby became a bit more serious. I noticed in some of the club minutes that I was looking at in about 1950, and a regular weighing of the players.
Oh, yes, I think we produced leaflets and things and based on other clubs' organisation, I expect. But I don't think players read leaflets.
They just want to play.
Well, see, now, you see, it's a different world. They're contracted. Mm. And if they're dropped, they can't just, you know, go straight away and go and play for somebody else. They have to get out of their contract. Mm. before they can move. They have to put up with it.